The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the Nova Society are those of our guests and panel members and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of any institution any member of the Nova Society is associated with. The material information presented on the Nova Society is for general information purposes only. Reproduction or dissemination for the purpose other than education is prohibited without express written consent of the Nova Society. We'd like to welcome everyone back to the Nova Society, and today we're going to again open the mailbag and answer an email from one of our listeners from Sydney, Australia. And the listener's asking about the recent developments of TikTok and the battle against TikTok here in the United States and the potential of TikTok being banned. So Scott is on vacation today, and the rest of our panel took up this conversation as we begin to learn about TikTok from the one and only person on the platform from the panel, our very own Dr. Priscilla Hobbs. So let's listen in. So here we are again. We've reached into the mailbag, and we have a definite Priscilla Hobbs type of question.
I just have to say, every time you do that,
yes,
I automatically go to the song from Blue's Clues about the mailbag.
Really?
Every time you say that, I'm like, here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. All I do is want to yell, mail.
I'm going to leave that every in. Time. we're going to leave in Priscilla singing the Blues Clues mailbag song. All right. So this comes from Stephanie. This is actually from Sydney, Australia. And she says, hello, Nova Society, and thank you for reading my email. I have a question for the panel. It is being reported here in Australia that the U.S. is set to ban TikTok. Number one, is that true? Number two, why are they thinking of doing this? Number three, isn't this a violation of free speech? Number four, and this is why I say this is a Priscilla Hobbs happy to sing the Blues Clues mailbag thing. I know Dr. Hobbs says she is on TikTok. Are any of the rest of the panel active on the platform? And what are your thoughts? And then she has another question, which is of more political nature, but has to do with TikTok, and we'll hit that next. So let's do the question number four first. Yes, Dr. Hobbs is on TikTok. Brooklyn, are you on TikTok?
No, my family is, however.
Okay. I have, and I can honestly say I have never been on it.
Nope. I wouldn't even know where to find it or what to do.
Well, my problem is I wouldn't be able to spell it. Because
right,
it's not,
there's no C's. There's no C's in there. So
there's no C's in it. Right. And I'd be looking for TikTok and it's K. So yeah, I probably wouldn't even be. So to answer that question, which is very simple, the only one on the platform is Priscilla. So she is the one that probably can speak the best about the platform. Now, first question, is it true that they are trying to ban TikTok in the United States? And just as a, there was more to the email than I sent out to everybody, because she understands that the news service in Australia may be taking a different take than, say, the news services in the United States, which would be natural. So she says, is this true? So
ish. I mean, that's effectively what the House passed. And it's another version of what was on the table a couple years ago, basically saying that because TikTok is a Chinese company, it needs to sell itself to the United States. And if it doesn't do that, a company in the United States, right? If it doesn't do that, then we are going to ban it in the United States. And what that means is, there won't be access to the app. Like, you won't be able to find it into the app in the app store and all of that. And if people wanted to access it to use it, they're going to have to find it, access it via a VPN.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, ish, but because this has been on the table before, it's been like, and it doesn't get very well. Because what they're asking for, I mean, it does apparently have bipartisan support, it has presidential support. But it also doesn't have the support of most voters under the age of 40. So, so you know, it's one of those like dangerous games, you know, they're puffing up their chest so that they look like they're taking a strong stance and realizing that they'll probably lose the vote if they do.
Well, okay. So as you say, ish, is it true ish? Because I believe they have 6 months to get, you know, to either sell off or do whatever they're going to do to be in compliance. So it's not something like if the president was to sign it today, it doesn't, they still have 6 months to get to be in compliance, at least the way I understand it.
Mm-hmm. What I find really interesting is that Biden, President Biden, is on TikTok. And what they're talking about is divesting this, I believe it's called ByteDance. I don't know if that's the whole company, but the part of TikTok that people use as TikTok, according to the person who owns it, the data is stored in the United States and is not accessible to the Chinese government. However, I've also heard that some of the data is stored in China. And of course, there have been hacks into Facebook and hacks into, I don't know if it was Universal Studios or whatever it was. So data doesn't have to be stored in another country physically in order for anybody with super hacking skills or whatever that takes and a computer anywhere in the world to access it. But Biden is for basically it's divesting this part of the company from the larger part of the company. One issue is that TikTok itself is worth something like $500 billion. And so finding somebody who has that kind of money, another company, I don't know why it can't be syndicated or something like that, some sort of creative arrangement. But finding someone with that type of capital who would be able in the United States, another company who would be able to purchase such a company is one problem. And I also find it interesting that Mr. Trump, who is not on TikTok, doesn't want the company divested.
He was the one who originally was championing the last time we tried to ban TikTok.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that President Biden is on TikTok and he wants to have it divested. And Mr. Trump, who's not on TikTok, wants to keep it the way it is. And I know that many people do make their livings on TikTok as many people do on YouTube. And if access were made more difficult, as you say, would have to have a VPN and so forth, that would disrupt I have no idea how many Americans make their livings on TikTok, or depend upon on it for their news and other information. I don't know how much my family uses it. As I said, I wouldn't even know how to access it. What I am not is a cybersecurity expert, and I don't know how legitimate the security concerns really are. And that, I think, would need to be the American public would need to be informed by someone who genuinely understands cybersecurity and risks, I mean, the one's personal laptop can be hacked into when its camera used, even when the camera's not turned on, to watch whatever a person is doing, apparently. And so, I mean, a car can be hacked, a computer or whatever now. And so I do see the potential. And as I understand it, the Furbies, the toys from the 1990s, those were removed from the market. And I've heard that people who had one had the toy taken away because of worries of security issues. And but those things, I mean, they weren't
connected. They weren't on the internet.
I know they weren't. I know they weren't. But something like that could potentially be connected with AI, and then there would be issues about spyware. So, I mean, this is everywhere.
Wow. Well, and TikTok isn't, by any stretch of the imagination, the only app. And exactly. The CEO of TikTok even made a TikTok, saying we hear that this is coming and we're not going to sell. We're not here for any malicious purposes. We're here to support the creators and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Giving a very convincing CEO speech. I think one of the things, so the fear of it is that they can steal our data. So it poses a national security threat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of other apps out there that are foreign owned, and we're not going after any of them. So it's like, okay, there's a different motivation happening here in this conversation. And then
China's on the short list of countries who are national enemies, or whatever the term is, Russia and Bolsonaro, Venezuela or whatever.
Yeah. But the problem that I think folks are forgetting when they're seeing like, oh, yay, we're banning TikTok, is they also are forgetting to take into account that China owns like all of the West Coast. And a number of Chinese investors are backing large companies in the United States. So you ban one app, you're just actually not doing anything to the bigger threat, quote, quote, of our national security.
Right. And that probably comes to why the second question is, why are they thinking of doing this? And it kind of goes back to the old Red Scare.
Right.
We're terrified. I did watch the hearings on Capitol Hill, where they were interviewing all of the CEOs of the social media platforms, and the CEO of TikTok, Xuzi Chu, was there, and they kept beating up on him of, are you Chinese? And he kept saying, I'm Singaporean. I served in the Singapore military. I am not Chinese. And he also reminded them that he assumed the position in 2021 from the previous interim CEO, who was Vanessa Pappas, who is definitely not Chinese. To me, why are they thinking about doing this? They're thinking about doing this because it's just another variation of the Red Scare. It used to be the Russians back, in the McCarthy era.
Right.
Now it's the Chinese, and we're afraid. And here's the thing that gets me is we have an equal amount of technical ability as the Chinese do. Do they steal data from us? Absolutely. Do we steal data from them? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right.
Anybody that thinks that we're above that kind of thing, I'm sorry, we are not above it. We do it all the time. And we have some of the best agencies in the world, CIA and all these other ones, that have the capability to do it. But, it's like I said, I go back to the hearings on Capitol Hill, where they were just beating up this poor guy of, Well, have you ever served in a Chinese government? Have you ever served in a Chinese government? I'm Singaporean. And he kept saying that. I'm Singaporean. And they simply, the Republicans that kept, beating him on this, kept saying they couldn't make the difference between Singapore and China. So that kind of stuck out very, very well. And so, yeah, it is. Why are they doing this? Well, Stephanie, it's because it's the Red Scare all over again, in my mind. That's yeah. All it is. Now, I will ask Priscilla this, because she obviously knows more about this than I do. How do people make money off of this? Because I've heard that, people have businesses. I mean, I always thought it was just where, young people got on there and danced and, sang or whatever. I shows you what I know about the platform. But how do they make money off of this?
So I had to verify because it's actually in the process of phasing out. But what they would do is they would have a kind of like a pot of money, so you have like the sponsors. So like people can, add revenue and all of that. So that's doing its thing. Individual posters can get sponsorship. But then there was also like a TikTok fund, like a creator fund, that if you hit a certain threshold of viewers, then you are eligible to start, getting a little bit of a monetary compensation for it. And they're actually in the process. And this was back in November that they announced this, that a phasing down that fund. Mm-hmm. So what's slowly started happening is that people who were making a ton of money from their TikToks are starting to not see that. So of course they're jumping to other platforms, which they probably already were. The most successful influencers are on multiple platforms, so it's sucks to lose this revenue, but yeah. At least there's still these other avenues. Go find me over there. And then there are some who are riding out the wave as well, who are just like, they enjoy the platform. They enjoy the interaction of the platform. The platform is still functioning. And so they're just going to see what happens, as time goes on. And,
Do they make like real money off of this?
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, I have a friend who does some stuff on TikTok, like live streams, and, gets like a couple hundred dollars a month. And then like, there's a whole genre of TikTok that my friend has dubbed Diz Talk. So it's people who do a live stream on their TikToks at the Disney parks. And so it's literally just them walking around and doing the live stream. But viewers can like send them a monetary gift as part of this live stream. Uh-huh. And some of these Diz Talkers have reported that they make like a couple $1,000 one day at the Disney parks. And so here they are doing it every day. It's like, this is now their career because they're making a really good living just by hanging out at Disney. Who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah, well, really? Well, and a couple of $1,000 a day that pays that might almost pay for the cost of admission. but you're still probably not going to be able to eat because, the cost there is like exorbitant. I did not realize that this was such a money-making thing. Although I was watching a YouTube video. Somebody was one of the comedians, and I guess Snooki. Is Snooki a thing? I guess she was. Not anymore. But for $300, she will send you a TikTok shout out. And they paid. Oh, it was on John Oliver on Last Week Tonight. And they basically paid Snooki to come on and talk to these two people for $300 for a grand total of maybe a 7-second segment. And, it was like, okay. And I guess Rudy Giuliani used it, where he would, send a greeting or something for $350. You could pay for that. And he would record on TikTok. No, I can't figure out who'd want that, but okay. And he would send out that greeting, and it was like $350. So, those were the only ones I really knew, as you say, influencers. But I, it's awful difficult to say who's an influencer today. They come and go. They come and go all the time. I was just unaware how prevalent it was and if there was like real actual money. But a couple of $1,000, you're right. If you're just going to hang out at Disney for a couple of $1,000 a day, just wandering around.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a pretty good gig. I guess we're all in the wrong profession.
Yeah.
I guess we should rethink our profession. Maybe we could pay off our student loans. maybe. And we'll continue this conversation in our next episode. We hope you join us. So that's all the time we have for today's episode. The Nova Society is a production of the Phoenix Research Institute. We'd like to thank our sponsors for this episode. BH Conflict Resolution Services, a full-service dispute resolution firm offering expert and cost-effective mediation services to couples, groups, and businesses. BHCRS can be reached at www.bhcrs.com. We'd also like to thank our podcast partners, Buzzsprout, who hosts the Nova Society, Audacity, our editing partners, and Podkite, who does all of our analytics. iHeartRadio, where people get their music and podcasts, Apple iTunes, the largest source for music and podcasts on the internet, Spotify, the most popular source for the Nova Society. The Nova Society is available on all of these and other quality platforms. We'd like to thank all of our listeners. Without you, the Nova Society would not be possible. If you have a comment, question, or would like to be a guest on the Nova Society, we can be reached at nova.society.podcast@gmail.com. Always remember, the power of society is knowledge. So for Dr. Scott Gershwer, Dr. Priscilla Hobbs, Dr. Brooklyn Ann Weldon, and all of us here at the Nova Society, I'm Dr. Mark Bound. Be well, and we hope to see you again next time.